The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I'm dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you've not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I'm going to teach you a simple prayer of praise in thanksgiving because Anne has given birth to Nathaniel. So this is how the prayer goes, and I want you to repeat it with me. Hip hip hooray, Anne.
Hip hip hooray, Anne.
Hip hip hooray, Anne. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you tell her. Thank you. We are the community of love. In Christ's communion, we are the bread. Please be seated. My name is Gerald Stahl, and I'm a 78-year-old retired priest, and you don't know me. So I was thinking, how could I preach the gospel to people who really don't know me? So I'm going to try to preach the gospel through the four parishes I served through my 40 years of priesthood. I've been so amazed because I was raised in no church. I flunked the Bible course when I went to seminary. That's how bad it was. I mean, I had to work harder than everybody else to learn those
New Testament lessons. And I did pretty well in the Old Testament lessons. I never spent much time with either Leviticus or Numbers. They never got to me. But the rest, I did. And so the first place I'm going to be sent to as a 25-year-old deacon who was engaged to Anne to be married in September, but this was in June, the Bishop of South Dakota, where I come from, sent me to the eastern part of the Rosebud Indian Reservation, the Lakotas. And I was to serve Gregory County, which is the size of Rhode Island. I traveled 36,000 miles a year. Three places, 9, 11, and 2. And I made up my mind, having come east to school, and have seen how it seemed to me the Episcopal Church was so comfortable with wealth and well-educated people. And I said, we're more than that. So I made this resolution up, and I kept to you. I want you to know I did this faithfully. Anne can tell you how compulsive I can be. I did it faithfully. I called on everyone who lived in a trailer in Gregory County. I called on everyone who did not have indoor plumbing. I called on everyone who just had returned from the state penitentiary. Kept calling, and they kept coming to church. And it was a wonderful time. Anne would help me with the church school, and she also was good at the organ. And I couldn't believe how quickly people responded. Now, the one thing I absolutely did not do, and I'm not against these organizations, I wouldn't join the Rotary, and I wouldn't join the Masonic Orders. I just put my nose up at them. Nope, that's not for me. And people who had indoor plumbing, I was a little suspicious of them. How weak really were they? Can you know what happened next? Every doctor, every lawyer, every optometrist, every business person, every restaurant owner, every big rancher started coming to church. I was so furious, I could have just screamed. What was God doing? He knew very well that there are very few places in the Episcopal Church where the poor are having such a wonderful time together, and now those folks will come and they'll spoil everything and people will stop coming to church and they say they can't do it and they'll let the other people do it, and I was sick at heart. But the body of Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, taught me a wonderful lesson. It works. It works. Everybody stayed. And my biggest and most happy moment was one Easter when I'd been there about 9 years, and Church of Incarnation was full to the rafters, and that was a great feeling. And there was Kathy Warnke, heiress to 10,000 acres of the finest prairie land and the largest cattle herd in Gregory County, with her, I don't think people wear these anymore, but a mink coat for her ankles. Have you seen those kind of coats? That's the first time I saw it. And right behind her was Winnie Greyhound, who lived in a tent in town with her raggedy, worn shawl wrapped around her. Man, did I believe in Jesus? Did I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit? It was a great, great moment. We were there 9 years, and then it was time for me to come to St. Mark's, New Britain, where I spent 7 years. Anybody been to New Britain, Connecticut? Well, St. Mark's Episcopal Church is in the center of the town. And when I went there in 1969, it still had a men and boys choir, no women up at the altar. It was a beautiful, big church. The acoustics were absolutely marvelous. Everything was up to snuff. I learned so much from the rector about how to keep things moving in a large parish and getting all the dynamics together. And at that time, Anne and I were going through a crisis, as we often go through crises, and this was because finally I gave in to Anne one more time and said, yeah, you want a girl, We have two boys. I have four brothers. My brothers were all having boys, and I don't think we can't do that. She said, we will adopt a girl. And the baby girl came. She was 10 days old. She came from the Sisseton Dakota people up in the northwest part of the state of South Dakota. Ann went out and got her, brought her back to New Britain, Connecticut, and she was wonderful. We called up our good friends Charlie and Moraine Whitepipe, and we said, what are we going to do with her hair? There's so much of it, and it sticks straight up. They said, you got to use bear grease. Come on. You hear that? No, you're the only ones that are like, bear grease. She was about four. And I often wondered about us fitting into this congregation. I'm from South Dakota, fourth generation dirt farmer. And one day, things began to change at St. Mark's. And as usual, the priest followed the men and boys choir. And just before the priest was a woman chalice bearer. And she goes up in the altar. This is 1974. Mary's 4 years old. They go up into the altar area. And when communion time comes, she passes out the wine. And the acoustics, I told you, were very good. Mary points and says, Mom, a woman priest at the altar. A woman at the altar. Do you remember how that was here? And how many of you were at Grace Church in 1974? A lot of women around running the church? Up there doing all the things they do? We always let them do the altar guild. And suddenly a big switch came within the church. And I saw the mind of Christ working. The fellowship of Christ understanding we're going to have new relationships. And we men and women are going to do things differently than we've ever done before. Well, we were there for 7 years, and then we went back to Sioux City, Iowa. Anne's from Olwine, Iowa. Any of you ever heard of Olwine, Iowa? It's the only Olwine in the world. I don't know why you don't know Olwine, Iowa. And my folks lived up in Huron, South Dakota, so it was near family again. And we thought that would be good. School systems in Iowa are amongst the best. And so for 14 years, I was at St. Thomas Church. And I came there when I was about 41. And they were desperate to take someone so young because the church had been kind of on hard times. They had a wonderful former Roman Catholic priest, Joe, was just a great guy. And he knew exactly how to organize a whole church. And the whole church did how he said it should be done. So one day, a very important person came to me, and she said, Daryl, I like being married to you. We've had a lot of fun, but as long as you are going to direct me in everything I do, it's not going to work. I can't even be sad without you trying to fix my sadness instead of just listening to my pain and holding me. I thought that's what love was. You took care of everything so nothing bad happened to anybody, even though you had to control every single moment in their life because it would be really good for them. Should our boys are not thriving. She didn't say this because she's an awfully nice person. She says, the church isn't doing so well either. So I went to spiritual direction and counseling. I encourage you all to do that when you had an issue in your life. And Janet told me, Daryl, when you're 5 years old, there's a chance for you to pull everything together. Your spiritual life, your character, your sense of being, how you're going to handle the defenses in life so you can survive. You can integrate it at that time if you wish. If you don't do it then, you get to do it at 15. And if you don't do it at 15, you get to do it at 40. And there I was, 41 years old. So everything had to be stripped down And I now know something I preached for 16 years before that, but I knew it now. Death and resurrection. Death and resurrection. And it happened once on the cross. Jesus living in me made it so that I was doing that almost hourly, certainly daily, and with absolute conviction every week. So that was a great gift, that parish, while I was going through all this turmoil, supported me and encouraged me, and I could begin to become alive, not this time with what I thought was right, but this time with Jesus, my Savior, helping me, encouraging me, holding me up, laughing with me, praying with me, and most of all, I was in a community of love where the communion bread is Christ. Then, after we'd been there 14 years, where I wanted to stay, but Ann said, "Daryl, you can't do that to a parish. You can't make a parish so dependent upon you. You better look elsewhere." So some people came, various people, parishes, various parts of the world, Rochester, Montclair, New Jersey, San Francisco, had seen my resume and wanted me to come, and I never wanted to go. I just didn't want to go. And then one day, a parish from Barrington called St. John's called me, and they came out, and I said, "Dan, I don't know. What I understand about this parish, it's a different kind of life than the one we've been living in, this relaxed middle west country where it would be different." And you know, I'm not anti-country club, but I don't think I would fit in with the country club set. So they came out and listened, and we talked, and invited them to a late brunch. And I kind of thought I might come when Bob Shad, who for years was in labor management with Edwards and Angels, maybe you've heard of that law firm here in town, maybe you haven't, got out his pocket knife and started to clean his fingernails at the breakfast table. And I thought, you know, maybe I could go to St. John's Barrington. Maybe I could fit in. When I got there, I realized what a dreadful mistake I went. The average IQ was about 20 to 30 points higher than mine. And I didn't know what I was going to do. How was I going to preach? How was I going to lead? They all were leaders and doing absolutely marvelous things within not only the state, but in parts of the world. Here, I'm just a farm boy from South Dakota. And then I took a deep breath. And what I'd learned is that life is death and resurrection, and that maybe you have to leave some space to have that glow and go and be flourishing in the community. And so it dawned on me as I was thinking that way, why don't I have them speak to each other? They could be tremendous preachers. They're better educated than I am. They have more PhDs and more masters. A lot of MBAs, too. So I began to ask. I asked Dottie. Dottie, when I asked her if she would get up and talk to our congregation, was about maybe 65 to 70 in that age level. And 20 years before she and her husband Sandy came home. Found a dead son. Drugs were just coming into use. Barrington has one problem with drugs. You know how many people die almost every spring. That was kind of the beginning of it. She got up. She told her story openly and honestly. and said, this is what happened. And this is what I need from the church. St. John's began to change. Instead of being just high-powered people, they now knew that they needed each other, that they had to care and sustain, and be dreadfully honest. Next young guy, he kind of wanted to preach. He was slim and attractive and just a great guy. Brad, his name. And when he was growing up, things were so in his family that he spent most of the time at the country club. And he really learned to golf. Became really good at putting. He's good. And Brad wanted to tell his story. That was those men on the golf course that he shagged golf balls for that told him what he could do and what he could become. And today, Brad Faxon and Billy Andre put on that big golf tournament every year to help the poor kids, the young men and women of Providence. Boy, was that a Sunday to remember. Suddenly, those who were at the top of the field, like an international golfer like Brad, and Dottie and Sandy, who would lead Mount Holyoke and Dartmouth to bigger and better glories in their fundraising capacities, were not just those things. They were real people with real cares, with real needs, with real hopes. So that's what I learned. That God can put you in a place, this body of Christ, where everyone can do things you never thought you can do. And yet, somehow or other, we're all coming together in this community of love. So that's what I did for 40 years. Learned how God speaks through the community. And the changes that not only come to the community, but come to you as you try to be their priest.